All right, and welcome to another Beer for Breakfast podcast. My name is Jason Mahoney. Thank you for joining us here again today. And we've got a couple special guests again. This is a first for Beer for Breakfast, our good friend Sean Clollinger.
Hello.
Should I use your last name? Am I going to dime you out? You getting in trouble?
Are you getting hiding?
I mean, there's no... I don't have
federal witness protection.
I don't have a Beer for Breakfast non-compete, if that's what you're asking.
Okay, you.
Good friend of ours, an old CBS employee, good friend of mine, Sean, fellow beer drinker. Ian is joining us again.
Hello.
And we've got one of our favorites in studio as well, Craft House, Wendy from Craft House, the owner and proprietor of that fine establishment and brand. Thank you for joining us this
fine day. Thanks for having
me.
I appreciate it.
You've brought a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I usually bring like 4 or 5.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of glassware over there.
Yeah.
And you guys,
you got to come prepared, right?
You always do. And, you know, you guys have, what we say every time, you guys have some of the best swag and some of the best glassware in all of craft beer. And if you guys have not been over to their tasting room, you got to go. It is phenomenal. Do you still have that crazy green chili thing on, or is that out of season?
It's out of season, but we do have the traditional Michelada.
Okay.
So the red one.
That thing was so good.
Yeah.
I like had dreams about that.
Well, I brought you another surprise.
You brought me another surprise.
Yes.
Okay. Well, do we want to get that out of the way first, or how do you want to go? How do you want to go? Because I don't know what you brought. I just know one of the reasons why you're here, and it's a great reason. You know,
yes.
And I think this is a really awesome thing that you guys are doing, and that Sierra Nevada is doing.
Yeah.
So it's
Let's talk about resilience first, and then we'll
go ahead. Yeah.
Get into the fun stuff. So Sierra Nevada wanted to help their neighbors, the Butte County victims of the campfire. So they put out a call to, they put out the bat signal, if you will, the craft bat
like a
signal.
Hop? It's just a hop?
Yes. Yeah.
A single hop in the sky. Craft brewers assemble.
Yes. So they put out, they were making a benefit beer.
Mm-hmm.
So all sales, not just proceeds, but all sales of an IPA, of course, because it's Sierra Nevada and it's called Resilience, will go directly to the Butte County Victims Fund to help give relief to not only Paradise, which is the neighbor to Chico, but all of Butte County.
That's awesome.
So anytime Sierra Nevada does anything, like, we always respond. But it's also, they're well respected within the industry. They're still independently owned. Which is very hard to do, to have a brewery of their magnitude be independently owned and founded. So that's what we do best in the craft beer industry, is we help community and we support community. So first, there was a few hundred that signed up. And if you registered, the malt and the hops were donated to each brewery that registered on Sierra Nevada's website.
Oh, wow.
So the hops and the malt were free, and they shipped for free as well. So that was also provided from our suppliers. And that's why they're asking for all sales dollars to be donated to the Butte County Relief Fund. So we brewed it, and we're tapping it this Friday. They also asked that it only be poured in your own establishment, because then when it goes through distributors, then there's more expenses that are added on to it.
Yeah.
They also asked us to not package it, because there's another brewery that makes a Resilience IPA. And they graciously said, you can use the name for now, but please nobody package it.
Okay.
So you have to come and visit a brewery. We would love it if you came and visited us, but at, you know, any time that you can support community, it's fantastic. So last I checked, there was almost 1,300 breweries from across the nation had registered to brew the Resilience IPA.
Wow, that's a lot. I think when I was checking, because we were talking about this a few weeks ago, and I checked and it was around, like, I think they had just crossed that 1,000 mark.
Yeah.
So now 300 more have signed on. That is absolutely amazing. It's we talk about this all the time, even here just locally, how awesome the craft beer community is. But seeing it go nationwide and everybody's willing to be a part of it and help out, a part of the country that desperately needs some relief at this point in time. That is absolutely amazing. We got the dates a little off. We were here last week.
Sorry. I'm like, the beer's not ready yet.
And then you're like, we're like, okay, so that was leading. So this beer is very, very fresh. You guys just brewed this not too long ago.
Yeah,
so.
Almost 2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago.
So we like to do beer releases on Fridays. And actually, it's going to be a double beer release because we had already planned on releasing our Black Star Black IPA on Friday. So it's going to be a double beer release of Resilience and Black Star.
Very cool. Well, last week wasn't a lost cause. I mean, we were here a little bit early, right?
Did you just drink just because?
Well, we went to a bar.
Oh, good.
As you do afterwards. And we had Evocation.
Oh,
so
thank
we had
you.
Some craft house. Mahoney had a bad burger at a place.
Oh, no.
But I enjoyed it. So we still, even though you weren't here, we still had some craft house in your honor.
You were supporting local.
We were looking forward to it. And Sean is a big fan of craft house as well. So I was like, well, we have to go drink some. And so we left here at like 10:45 in the morning and started drinking out at a bar, which seemed, we felt
but
so
But you're
much
up at like 3 a.m.,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, it works out.
Yeah, they don't know that. Though. No. They didn't know that. No. That's okay.
The thing that I love too about what you guys are doing is everybody always wants to help out. You know, there's all these just causes. It seems like there's always something that's going on that everybody wants to get involved with and help out. This is a really fun way to be able to combine something that you love as well as something that is helping a lot of other people. So I think this is amazing. This is cool.
Well, that was the big driver that when Dave and I, we were researching of, you know, opening a brewery was the camaraderie within the craft beer industry. Is new breweries were looked upon as a rising tide floats all boats, and they wanted to see you be successful. You weren't looked upon as competition, and anything that they could help you do and support you to be successful and also put out the best quality product that you possibly can was really inspiring. So that was the main driving force. And then also Dave won Beer Camp when they opened it. Sierra Nevada has Beer Camp, but you usually have to be invited if you're a professional in the industry. But for their 30th anniversary, Sierra Nevada put out Tell Us Why You Deserve to Go to Beer Camp, and it was a contest. So you had to submit a video. So you submitted a video. There was like 6,000 videos submitted, and they chose 10 people from across the nation, and they chose my husband, Dave, to go. So he got to go to Chico and sit with Ken Grossman and listen to their backstory and harvest experimental hops on their acreage. And
so other than being this cause, it's super personal to you guys.
Yeah,
as well.
I mean, it's really kind of the impetus for us saying, hey, let's open our own brewery. And then when we had Steve, who's the original brewmaster of Sierra Nevada, he came to visit us. And I thought I was being punked because, first of all, we're not distributed with the same distributor as Sierra Nevada, right? So Steve Dressler still rocks the Birkenstocks and the bowl haircut. He's all classic. Right. So, but the sales rep comes in. He's like, I was told that I need to see Wendy and Dave and have Steve Dressler with me. And I was like, shut up. Because he wasn't standing with him. I was like, get the fuck out. No, don't do that to me. And I'm like, well, where is he? And he's like, oh, he's in the bathroom. And I was like, oh my God, like silently dying on the inside, you know, because he's a rock star in our industry.
Sure.
Bathroom door opens, there's a...
Yeah. Yeah.
What's that
fluorescent light is lighting him like an angel. It's a beautiful scene.
So we were honored that he chose to come and visit us when he came to Las Vegas. And he had announced his retirement, so he was kind of doing like, I think, a retirement tour. And they just like sent him off to go do fun things, you know? So it was super cool. He came to visit us. We were canning that day. And so he was awesome. So we have a tie with Sierra Nevada, and we appreciate them, and they're loved by the industry, and they're kind of the example of what, you know, a true craft community brewery should be.
And really helps set the precedent on what, you're right, you know, they are the archetype of what it should be. Yeah. And, you know, speaking of the community as well, I feel like the community is the reason why we have, you know, such a large, we are living in the craft renaissance right now, because if there wasn't this camaraderie against the kind of big macro guys who had, you know, stomped everybody else out, you know, for decades, I don't think that if everybody was just as cutthroat as they were, we wouldn't be here. Just because, you know, it would just be capitalism that has just prevailed and destroyed everybody, and we would have 7 types of beers instead of 6.
Right.
You know, instead of the thousands upon thousands of, you know, like the dream was back in the day, I want to drink all a beer from every craft brewery in America. Now my liver is crying even thinking about that, because they're, you know, we're the multiple what are we in, like 5,000, 6,000?
Over 6,000.
Yeah, it's and it's growing every single day, which is awesome.
Yeah. You know, when we opened, I think the count was at 3,500.
Okay.
And there was 2 craft breweries opening up every day across the nation, and it's now past 6,000. So 3,200 was the number of breweries that was open prior to Prohibition. And then it took us, you know, what, 60 years to get back to, you know, Prohibition number. But now it's just like
going
massively.
Nuts.
But you know,
there's something for everybody, you know.
That's just the way that the world's going now. I mean, there used to be just a few TV networks, and you had a few things to choose from, and you just picked the best of what you could.
Right.
And now, I mean, with Netflix and Amazon Prime, they're making shows for a ton of shows, but for smaller groups of people. So it's almost like everybody has a lot more choices, and rather than just seeing which of these five buckets you fall into, you're able to figure out, like, this is the thing that I love, and here's a, you know, a group of people that make that thing, you know, specifically for me.
If we could get like a Postmates for craft beer only.
Believe me, I've been looking into it. Believe me. It would be more likely to happen where states allow self-distribution, but definitely not our state, because we don't allow self-distribution. We're a three-tier system.
Yet. Yet.
Wake up.
It's very hard and expensive to change.
What do you mean?
If anybody could change the law, it's you guys. You know?
Simultaneously, I'm changing Las Vegas city licensing. I'm updating Henderson's licensing, and we'll be lobbying because next year is the session, legislative session for 2019.
I have to go to the DMV later today. Can you help out with that?
Just use the app.
Okay.
It's much easier these days, you know. So you can check in online. It's phenomenal. Do we want to crack some of these beers and get into it? We will let you be our beer Sherpa, and you will lead us on this journey of amazing beers from Craft House usual.
Last time I brought you kind of a wild card, and I brought you a Michelada.
And it was phenomenal.
We make our own Michelada mix.
Yes.
However, we also launched Chill House, which doesn't travel the greatest because it's a frozen beer slushy. Mm-hmm. So please excuse if it's not super frozen. Oh, it looks good. So we have just a margarita machine.
Yeah.
And so we have Chill House, which is our beer slushies. So it is about 86% beer. You need to have a sugar source in there, or otherwise it would completely freeze over into one ice cube. So there's two different flavors. We change them every 2 weeks. So there's a new flavor every week. So every Wednesday, we swap out for a new flavor. And because it is the holiday season, I did a play on a holiday
beverage. It smells like holidays.
Yeah,
I love it.
So this is my
gingerbread
play.
Is there gingerbread in there?
No, but there are spices. So this is my play on mulled wine. Wow. So this is mulled ale.
Okay.
So I mulled mulling spices. So anise, cinnamon, clove, allspice into Concord grape juice concentrate.
Okay.
And then so that's the syrup, the sugar source. And then it's made with Evocation, our Saison ale, as a base.
It always amazes me when you smell something and it smells like a day.
Yeah.
Like it literally smells like Christmas, the holidays. It's amazing.
How did you come up with this idea, though? I mean, like, you were just sitting around and you were like, you know what? I feel like this would be a great thing that people would love to drink.
I come up with a lot of kooky ideas. A lot of them I don't do, or Dave's like, really? Do you need to do that?
Yes, I do.
But to be honest, there's breweries in, like, San Diego County that have the frozen beer slushies. So I've seen them before, and I was like, oh, it's so gimmicky. Yeah. Like, I don't need to do that. And then I had one at Teru. It's the brewery's sour room, and it's their brewsicle. And I was like, oh, it's total gimmick. I don't even need to order one. So I didn't order one. And then the bartenders found out that we own Craft House, and they're like, here, try everything. And then they gave me a brewsicle. And I just let it sit for a while, and I was like, I don't need to try it. And then I tried it. I was like, God damn it, that's good. Dang you, Patrick Rue. So I was like, buying a slushy machine when we get back.
I love it. And I don't know if anybody else, if you guys snuck a drink yet.
Yes. Oh, I did. I love the flavor profile.
I don't know the rules. Am I supposed to wait?
No, you just go.
There's no rules. Go for it.
The only rule is that we drink everything that is brought.
Yeah, okay, that's a good one.
That's cool.
You know, I mean, Wendy is a veteran of the Beer for Breakfast podcast. She knows those rules very well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes, occasionally, people don't know and they bring 20 beers
So I launched it, of course, in August when it's the hottest time of year here. So the first month that we had the Chill House pouring, it was my best-selling item.
I believe it.
It blew even Resonate, our IPA, which is always our best-selling item. It blew it out of the water. Of course, now that we're colder, it's not my top-selling item in the tap room, but it brings people in who may be kind of put off or overwhelmed by craft beer. It's something fun, and there's flavors that they can grasp, and they know, like, I've had mulled wine, or Like I have the other one right now is called Snow Angel and it's vanilla mint.
Oh, that sounds good.
So,
yeah.
And then I'll be making an eggnog and we did like frozen hot cocoa and with just, Bellegarde.
I love what you guys are doing over there. Is there any chance, because you said it doesn't travel all that well,
right?
So come down to the tap room to try that out. But would there ever possibly for a brew fest or something that you guys are featuring out of, haul one of those out?
Yes. Oh, so the Las Vegas Lights asked us to make them their official beverage.
Really?
So, yes. Wow. I made the Lights Limon Ale.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Silver State, our blonde with, kind of a lemonade, twist. So that is at, their home games. And then we also brought it out. We were asked to, do Zappos, their, Zappoween party. So I brought it out for them. And then I brought it out to Esther's Kitchen. We did a beer pairing dinner there, and so I made one special there. But I try not to travel with my margarita machine. It's very hard to do.
I was at Costco the other day. They have portable margarita machines now, which is unbelievable.
Right.
Do they?
Yeah.
Really?
They have, like, battery power. They, like, connect to a cooler.
Wow.
Like,
what?
We're living in the future.
I don't
just
know.
Travel with your own personal margarita machine.
Yeah, put it in the back of a Tesla call today.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, no, this is phenomenal. Again, like I said, I'm always so pleasantly surprised with all the fun stuff you decide to bring us. So,
well, thank you.
This is
People's first question is always like, "Is there beer in there?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it's like the majority of beer."
That's what's dangerous.
It's what
about.
I do.
Because I'm with you. I feel like it feels like just the when somebody says it, it says, "Okay, that sounds kind of gimmicky," but then you taste it, you're like, "God,
I know.
That is so good.
It got me."
Well, and what's great about it, too, is that for somebody who's not a huge craft beer enthusiast, going to a tap room might be a little bit intimidating.
Right.
So you might go and see a lot of unfamiliar names or words and not mm-hmm. necessarily. I mean, I remember the first time that I was going, I knew the types of beer that I liked, but like, you can't go in there and go, do you have something like Stella? Because that's like kind of offensive to a lot of people.
It's not offensive and we hear it a lot. And then that's like our opportunity to say, okay, well, let me walk you in through the styles and let's find one that you like. And then maybe next time let's little tiptoe down the style aisle and then we'll get you into something else.
Well, it just provides another option of somebody who comes in and doesn't necessarily know what they like or just wants to try something that they maybe never have. You know, obviously, that's not normally a thing that you could get at home.
Right.
So just it provides some cool options coming into the tap room that would be unique from anywhere else that you could go.
It's very Instagrammable. Like, it's always one of my most liked posts. They're very photogenic.
And people go,
and unique.
I think a lot of people might not even know they exist. No. Also, you know?
I didn't know they existed.
You learn something new every day. What are we moving on to?
So next, we'll do the resilience.
Yes.
So Sierra Nevada is known for their classic combination of Cascade, Centennial, and Chinook. So the hops they used in here, are Cascade and Centennial, just no Chinook.
Okay.
So it's 6.5% ABV. It's a very classic kind of a little more malt forward IPA, but that's what Sierra Nevada is known for.
There you go, Ian.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah, it looks good.
That is pretty. And you can tell with the copper color.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, yeah. Nice head on that.
Well, I like the
good amount of carbonation. Oh, yeah. Yeah, get the not overpowering nose, but definitely very inviting.
Mm-hmm.
And at 6.5%, not going to kill you.
Yeah.
Well, cheers. Thank you again for coming
in. Cheers. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
We didn't cheers on the first one.
Cheers. I know. We didn't.
Do you cheers the beer slushies? I
mean, of course.
That's a good question.
There's beer in it.
Okay.
You can cheers anything. When my kids were little, I'd cheers them with their milk sippy cups.
Capri Suns. They don't
yes.
make,
oh,
they don't
my
make
kind
the,
of
they don't make, they don't make
those
the noise.
Those kind of explode, though, when you cheers too hard.
All right. Let's take a drink of this.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, wow.
That's really smooth.
It's classic Sierra
Nevada. I mean, it's if you like IPAs, this one, there's no way you don't like that.
Yeah.
How would this differ from like the normal IPA that you guys brew?
So Resonate is our year-round West Coast IPA. It's definitely not this copper color. It has a lighter malt bill, mm-hmm. And our hops are much more forward than Resilience. But in Resonate, we use Cascade, Centennial, and Chinook. This one is just missing Chinook.
Okay.
So this has Cascade and Centennial. So you're going to get a lot of pine mm-hmm. from these hops. And in Resonate with Chinook, it adds some more grapefruit notes to it.
It's amazing. Like
grapefruit peel.
It's hard for me to pick out what things I'm like tasting in there. And then when mm-hmm. you say pine, it's like, that's yeah. the Boom. One. Like, I guess.
Because our brain's yeah. dumb. As soon as yeah. she, no. It is. As soon as no, she says really. It, that's what pops in, you know? Because it's like, why was I not tasting that beforehand? No. That's happened so many times.
It just means you need to drink more and try more things.
Hey, I'm here.
I can write you a prescription if you need it.
I'm taking the first step.
This is a new journey for you. So, I mean, obviously you talk about Resonate being your biggest seller.
Yep.
Traditionally, you mm-hmm. know, IPAs, you know, have revolutionized the craft beer world. But you got yep. a couple other IPAs. You've got your I Am Brute.
Yes.
And then you've got your New England, which is, what
right
is it,
now
Implosion?
Yep, Implosion Countdown.
How are those working for you? Because those are kind of the two new, I would say, it styles. I mean, obviously the Hazy,
right.
last couple of years have been very, very big. And
right.
we're seeing Brutes now pop up all over yeah. the place. How are the customers reacting and to those new styles? And how are the sales going for those?
They're great. So anytime you put seasonal in front of anything, people are automatically attracted to it because you've set now, okay, it's not going to be here maybe by the next time you come back. So with anything being seasonal, people gravitate toward mm-hmm. it. The Hazies are doing really well because now a lot of people who are kind of familiar with craft beer have understood either a New England IPA or a Hazy IPA. And they kind of know now to maybe look for one wherever they're going. And with Brute IPA being the kind of newest IPA style, it's starting to trickle through.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think a few other of our local breweries, like Big Dogs made a Brute, and then Tanea Creek, Joseph James made a Brute IPA for a collaboration they did.
Is that the Corey's
yeah.
one?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Broody and the Beast?
Yes. Yes.
The names
the puns
these,
are never.
I mean, I Am Brute is really solid.
Well,
I like
yeah,
that. I like that
because I let our brewer name it. So.
Oh, I see. I would have thought this would have been you. See, you know,
I am not a fan of the punnies.
No,
really?
Because it's like overplayed in the craft beer
it really
industry.
Is,
like I don't
just,
mind.
It's so fun walking down the aisle and just seeing yeah. and just seeing the stupidity in some of the names. Now
I don't mind a pun like every now and then that we have. So I was like, yeah, okay, you know, you came up with style, you came up with beer, like. And it was his first beer style beyond what we currently, Cameron, when he came to us last summer. So I was like, okay, you just run with it because we're not packaging it. Like, mm-hmm. But then it turned out so good. Everybody's like, are you going to package that? And I was like, damn it, now we're stuck with I Am Brute.
I like the name. See, I would have thought, you know.
There's another probably 29 breweries that named their Brute I Am Brute.
Are there?
By the way, yeah.
No, none here in Las Vegas.
No,
none
no.
is near and dear to our heart.
And
we're trademarking it right here.
Yeah, yep. And actually,
LLC.
And Issa was like, texted me. He's like, you don't know how close we were for naming ours. I Am Brute.
Theirs turned out pretty good. I haven't had yours yet. But
I thought I brought it last time.
I don't think you did.
Hmm.
No, because the first, I think the Broody and the Beast was the first Brute that I tried.
No, I did bring it last time.
Did you?
I did.
We drank a lot.
If you drank it last, you may not remember.
Right.
We drink a lot. We actually had Issa in here yesterday.
Oh, nice.
Him and Chris Curtis from Team Curtis for a Cure. You guys
Chris.
Did some stuff with them yeah. over the summer. You did the was it Hops for Hope?
Yep.
Which is really cool. They were talking about some more 2019 stuff. But that's, you know, going back to the community and helping everybody out, you know, that is, that's what this city is about. It's the craft beer community. It's, you know, it's pretty amazing what everybody is willing to do and help out. And Issa brought in I don't know if you heard about what they're doing. They're doing a barrel of, they bought a barrel of Whistle Pig. Bourbon.
Nice.
And so they're doing, it's just 100% straight rye. It's hot. Like
yeah.
wow.
116 proof. Oof. It's real good, but they're doing the entire barrel that they got from Whistle Pig. They bottled it and they're selling it, and all the proceeds are going to go to benefit Team Curtis for a cure.
Nice. We love Chris.
Yeah.
Chris is awesome.
Well, the first time we ever had him on the show was yesterday, and he was funny.
Oh, he's going to come back. Oh, yeah. He's going to come back. He's very witty.
Oh, yeah.
Very witty.
Well, he was an attorney, so but he's very dry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We loved it, and like I said, just, you know, small community and just doing great things all the way around. We love that, you know, that everybody gets along so well here in Las Vegas.
Yes.
And this beer, phenomenal.
Thank you.
So we'll be featuring this on Friday's show. We have a little bit extra of a chance. If not, let's not drink it all.
I thought I was bringing back something else. We can talk about it later.
Okay, we can talk about
it. Yeah, on the DL.
Okay, okay. Yeah. We'll get to that.
Okay.
Behind the scenes.
Hold your horses.
I can bring you both back.
Okay, disregard
I can
that.
Bring you
but
back.
But we'll be featuring something from Craft Out.
Yes.
This Friday.
Stay tuned.
On Beer for Breakfast.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay, we ready to Good move tease. On to our next beer.
Yes. So the next one is one of our seasonal IPA releases. It is a double red IPA. It's called Neon Empire. And the can is very sexy and has all of the now retired neon signs on it. Like, it has like La Concha, and it has the Lady Luck, and it has all fun neon images.
Everything from the neon boneyard.
Mm-hmm.
Rinse out some of your glasses.
Yes. So during, you know, when it gets a little colder, you want something a little more malt forward and maybe a little bit higher of an ABV to keep you warm as well.
And something that's just not a stout. You know, I mean, not that we don't dislike stouts, but I feel like that's just so common for Christmas and holiday seasonals, winter seasonals.
Yeah.
It's just to go stout. I mean, I think we've done 4 or 5 stouts already.
Yeah.
On Beer for Breakfast.
Which, we've been through a handful.
Which is good because, you know, by the end of the show, we're like, all right, we're feeling pretty good and ready for the weekend to begin right now. So you are canning this just for, and that'll be available at Total Wine Lees.
Yep.
And the grocery stores that get it.
And us.
And you, of course. You can buy it straight from the source. Yes. Why do you need a middleman when you could go right down there to their tap room and you can get a beer slushy as well while you're there?
So Neon Empire is 7.8 ABV. It's a double red IPA, so it's a little bit higher. But, you know, it's a nice way to have a nice malt backbone and also have the hop profile in there.
Now, do you guys have a rule? You know, it's a little after 10 here. Do you have
There's no rules.
When you're at work? I mean, do you have to wait till a certain amount of time in the day before you guys start? I mean, what's the earliest that you've come in and somebody said, you got to try this?
As soon as I walk in the door. I mean, there's a lot of tasting that goes on. It's sensory analysis, and like what you may smell or taste is not the same that I may smell or taste. And actually, the super tasters have been females. So super tasters are in any type of food and beverage industry, like whether it be for ice cream or for bread or for...
How do you get that job?
I know.
You, right? I'm in the
you have to go
industry.
Through like serious sensory analysis.
My sensor, I would not be a super taster. I would be the whatever the exact opposite of that is. My senses are so dull.
You're the duper taster.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's interesting because, like, you know, in my house, my fiance, she, like, her hearing, her smell, her taste are 1,000 times more amplified than mine, and I could just, you know, it has to be a big flavor for it to really register. On my scale, but it's interesting because she'll take like a Sudafed, you know, if she's feeling under the weather or something like that, wants to clear something out, and she'll be up for 2 days off of like one Sudafed.
All right.
I could take 5 Sudafed and fall asleep in 5 minutes.
That way, when I come over, we always have to go sit in the backyard.
Yeah. Because that's why, like, if Sean and I are smoking a cigar over at the house, enjoying that, you know, she could smell the cigar. Like, she's on the other side of the house. The doors are closed. The windows are closed. There's no openings. But she could still somehow smell the cigar from, like, 100 yards away.
Yes. Well, you can also smell more properties than you can taste. So that's why they always suggest when you're enjoying a beer, you smell it first.
Because
you'll pick up more than what you actually taste.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do a good job of dissecting everything, but, like, when it's told to me, and then I can really search for that specific flavor or that specific scent, then that's when it pops out. Because otherwise, I'm like, "Oh, that's good."
Yeah.
Which I think is good, you know. But
I like knowing why I like something. I went to Scotland a couple years ago, and I always kind of liked Scotch, but I didn't really know why. And I went to a bar that had something like 1,200 different single malts. It's too many. So you walk up there, and the guy's like, "What do you want?"
It's
and it's like, "I don't know." Like, so just being there for a couple of days, going to bars, and having people sort of explain to me why I like the things that I do has helped me to more understand why I purchase certain things or don't. And it's sort of carried over for me with beer in the same way of now sort of understanding what are the nuances that I like for each one. It's not knowing like, do I just like IPAs or like, you know, trying the different types of them now being able to sort of analyze, do I like, you know, this type or this type or, you know, do I like the normal IPA or the New England IPA? Whereas maybe a year or two ago, I would have had no idea what the difference was.
A lot of people who come into the tap room, then they say point blank, I don't like IPAs. It's usually what I find is they don't like IPAs that have pine notes. They don't like the pine. They don't like the bite behind their jaw, where there's tons of beautiful hops that give you tropical fruit aromas, or, you know, lemon or pepper. So it's kind of knowing what hop is in there and what's the hop driver and what you're sensitive to. But most people are kind of put off by Chinook and Cascade, which are the pine, you know, forward.
Some of us who just can't get enough. You can
just go
to town on those. That kind of talk in that same vein, asking, you know, being an owner and a proprietor of a craft brewery, is there a beer that you ever made that you like, or the recipe that came out early that you didn't like, but you knew that everybody else would really enjoy? So, because that, I feel like it's almost hard. It would kind of be hard to sell something that you personally didn't like.
Like compromising your own taste almost in a sense for the sake
of sales.
But I know
that maybe other people would really like this, though.
I can appreciate styles if they're brewed clean and true to the style as it should be. Mm-hmm. Like, we have style guidelines and that you're judged upon. However, I don't like, especially German esters and Belgian esters, so the aromas that yeast creates. Mm-hmm. I don't like banana esters in my beer.
Really?
Can't stand it. Okay. So I don't care for Hefeweizens. It doesn't mean that I can't appreciate a well-made one. Mm-hmm. I would not order one. But if somebody's like, taste this, is like the best Hefeweizen, it's ranked blah, blah, blah. I can appreciate it for what it is. I don't prefer it. I really don't like banana esters in my beer.
It's like eating the best blue cheese in the world.
Oh, that I can eat all day long. Oh, all day. And especially IPAs and blue cheese, like perfect pairing. Could do it all day long. All day.
Can't do it at all.
All day.
It's like sour cream. It's
what, you don't like sour cream?
What? You can do sour cream?
What is the... Get out. You go. Go get. Go get. Go get.
It says it's got bad sour in the title. Come on.
No, it's actually good for you. Yeah. It's good, like, for your flora and fauna.
Well, and that's the end of the episode.
How have I known you for 15 years and I didn't know that you didn't like sour cream? Not even on like tacos?
You can't do the 7-layer dip.
I haven't.
Nothing,
not even in combination?
I've been careful to not let this come between us.
What about mayo? How do you feel about mayo?
Nope.
Okay, I get you on that one.
Nope. No mayo, no mustard.
Yogurt?
Yeah, I can do yogurt.
But no sour cream?
No, and that's the thing is I can do like garlic aioli dips, which I understand have mayonnaise in them. But
the garlic overpowers it?
I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't like aiolis. I'm with you. Anything with an aioli?
Aioli is just a fancy name for I put stuff in the mayo.
Yeah.
It's like on the aioli drink.
It's
on.
Fancy for a dollar extra.
Right?
Why is guacamole always a dollar extra? That doesn't make any sense. It's a fruit just like everything else.
The avocado business is interesting.
Can't get enough.
Has anybody made a guacamole or has anybody made like an avocado beer yet?
Yes. And there's actually an avocado festival and then a whole bunch of breweries make avocado beer.
Really?
Yes.
Have you tried any of these?
No, I have not. And it's probably really hard to do because avocados have super high fats and oils and lipids.
And they're fresh for a day?
And that's going to, like, you're going to have no head retention. Yeah. So I have no idea how they do it.
If you want, I have an avocado guy.
You do?
I do.
I need an avocado guy.
Where are you getting your avocado?
Wait, do you really?
I do. He's from Mexico.
Caesar?
Avocados from Mexico.
He actually runs Avocados from Mexico.
Does he?
Yeah. But he was saying that apparently it's the only, the ones in Mexico are the only ones that are grown year round.
Yeah, the Florida ones are garbage.
No, the ones in Southern California are grown year round.
Only the ones in Mexico.
He's lying to you.
What? Let's drink more.
You get bamboozled. Yeah, those ones out of Florida, those big giant ones.
No, can't do those. Those are
gimmicky. Those are gimmicky.
Garbage.
No, only Haas. Wait. Only us. We're done. No more. Nor, wow, period. This is taking a turn. End of statement.
The big only happened the big ones?
No, they're not giant. They're small. No, the Haas. The Haas
are the other ones. I'm thinking of the big ones that have like, no. Like the size of like a.
Yeah, and they're like waxy.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Maybe I'm just thinking Haas because that's the only avocado name I
know. No, the Haas is the way to go.
Good, those are the ones from Mexico, right?
Well, I think they grow Southern California, California, Baja, Mexico area.
Avocados from Mexico, I've spent a lot more on their branding.
Yes. All right. I even sang the jingle. You can tell him I sang the jingle for him.
I'll let him know. And I'm just saying, if you want to ever
I won't
try
charge
one.
Him for a product endorsement.
Have any of us drank any of the Neapolitan?
Yeah, actually. Yeah. I've been sipping on it this whole time. Hasn't? I love this.
I haven't had a chance to take a drink yet.
All right, do it. So we used Mosaic, Simcoe, and Citra hops. So a lot of people who don't like the pine hops like Citra hops because of citrus, obviously, orange, lemon. But this has more of what we in the industry call like a dank hop profile. Okay. So Simcoe, anytime you see Simcoe, think dank, long water, wet moss, kind of herbaceous.
She's talking my language.
Delicious. The bite on this isn't, it's very, this goes down very smooth. It's very well balanced.
Yeah.
And at 7.8 is dangerous.
Yeah. And it doesn't drink hot at all.
No, not at all.
No, it's actually a very pleasant
very,
kind of bite
very
at the
good.
End.
Oh, man. That's, yeah. I'm into When did you start canning this?
This is our, is it our second year?
Because I can't remember if you dropped this off for me last year or not.
I think I did.
Maybe.
It's our second year, but this is the first year on our own canning line because we upgraded. Invested and bought our own canning line.
And how has that been going for you? Has it been
amazing.
So much better?
Yeah, because you can, so when we would use a mobile canning service. So we'd have to wait until, you know, a couple beers were ready in tank and maybe they were 3 days past when we could have packaged them. You know, it's not that freshness was an issue, but now all that beer was sitting and waiting for the mobile canner to come. We can all day. And then you're left cleaning the tanks, you know, sanitizing the tanks, brewing as fast as you can and filling them all back up again. So it's not great to keep production going. So now that we have our own canning line, we have the luxury to can as soon as the beer is ready, and we can get that out and through, and then our brewers aren't stressed with trying to fill 3 to 4 tanks as fast as they can.
And, your new brewer has been with you, what, 6-7 months now?
Cameron came from Colorado in, I want to say, July.
Okay.
Yeah, and then he came full-time beginning of September, he moved here.
Okay.
And then Bryson came to us August. So Cameron is from Colorado, but he and his wife graduated UNLV. His wife grew up here. He moved here to graduate or go to school. And then they moved back to Colorado, and that's where he brewed. And then he also brewed in Portland and then came back to Colorado. And then Bryson came to us from San Diego. He graduated from UCSD Brewing School. Mm-hmm. And then he was working at Mike Hess, fantastic brewery. And we had met him because his girlfriend is one of the pastry chefs that makes our spent grain pretzels.
Okay.
So he would come in with her and we would get to know him, and he was great. I knew he was graduating. And so we had known him before the position was available.
That's very cool. Wow. Just how it all ends up working out. And
it's all very incestuous, the craft beer industry.
But that's what's nice about it is, I mean, everything you guys do has such a personal connection. Obviously, you have to, you know, have a personal connection with the city, but having the people that also work with you on obviously, you know, owning the brewery, a project that's very personal to you guys, it's nice to have a group of people that you're working with that also have a similar type of investment as well.
Yeah. Thank you. Do you want to work for us?
Maybe.
What?
We have one more beer, I think, right?
Yes.
The Neon Empire, though, man, that's, I could drink that all day long. Oh, perfect beer for the winter. And 7.8, scary good at that point.
So, speaking of malt, the last beer that we have, it's called Lowlands Clan. So it's a Scotch ale.
Okay.
Or the style is also known as a wee heavy. So very chewy, robust on the malt profile, very meaty. This is a beer style that Cameron, our head brewer, he loves to brew and he appreciates. So he did this one completely on his own, which he's very talented and qualified to do so. So we named it Lowlands Clan because traditionally The brewers of Scotland were from the lowlands, mm-hmm. and the distillers were from the highlands. And then clan, of course, because there's clans, yeah. and they were the clan of brewers. So a Scotch ale uses a little bit of peated malt. So it's malt that's been smoked on peat moss.
Ooh, that's my jam.
But it's not like drinking a swamp bog.
Oh, okay.
It helps to accentuate or highlight the malts. So this is obviously a very malt-forward beer with it being dark. It's 9% ABV.
Ooh.
So if you think of like the cold, damp weather in Scotland, mm-hmm. you want something to kind of wrap around you and be malty and almost chewy and meaty as well.
And how long will this one be available for?
We should have it hopefully, by the way, it's running through the tap room the end of January.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, so have you been to Eureka downtown?
Fremont East? Long time ago.
So they came to us because they were given Buffalo Trace barrels.
Okay.
A little Pappy Van Winkle there for you.
Pappy action going, yeah.
So in each of the areas where they have Eureka, they reached out to one of the local breweries and said, can you barrel age us a beer and that it'll be exclusively ours? So they reached out to us. We were very flattered. So we have Lowlands Clan in the Buffalo Trace barrel because most breweries would be like, oh, let me put a stout or an imperial stout in there, you know, with a whiskey barrel. It's beautiful, but it's also expected. So we wanted to do something a little unexpected.
Yeah.
So we have Lowlands Clan in the Buffalo Trace barrel. And then when it's ready, it'll go to Eureka.
Really?
Yeah.
Any idea how long that's going to be?
Well, the barrel tells you when it's ready.
Okay. So, it'll speak to you.
Yes. So usually about 3 to 6 months.
That's gonna be amazing.
Yeah, it's gonna be really good.
Worth it. I mean,
and actually, we have 4 barrels going on right now. Cameron wanted to implement a barrel aging program, which is great. So George, before he passed away, who owns the Las Vegas distillery, he brought us over one of his barrels because we had brewed Comrade. It's our annual release, mm-hmm. which is named after George, of a Russian Imperial Stout. So this is the first year we've actually traditionally barrel aged it. So we have a barrel. He came over while we were putting in the barrel. So our brewer said, when the barrel's being filled, he's like, you know, whiskey, it's good, and beer, it's good. By the way, he's from Transylvania. And he's like, but this is sexy.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to name it This Is Sexy in honor of George. And awesome. Comrade was always named in honor of him because he was always saying, my friends. So the barrel age version we're going to bottle, so that will be released later. But Comrade Day is always the day before Super Bowl.
And we usually have you in that week of. So maybe snake us a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm. And, a little nip.
So you see how that goes. But looking forward to that. I love that you guys are always branching out and trying new stuff over there, you know.
Thank you.
It's, it's easy to you know, kind of rest on your laurels. And, just do what you've been doing forever. But I love seeing all the new stuff coming out of you
Thanks.
Guys. You know, and it's good, too. You know?
Did you see we're opening up a second place?
I did. We talked about this briefly. It's going to be downtown, right?
So it's in the Arts District.
Okay.
If you've been to Esther's, you can literally throw a meatball from Esther's kitchen to our window.
Oh, great.
And we recommend that.
We know Chef James well, and we love him. We love his passion. So we're going to have like a quick fire menu at our tasting room that directly fires into his kitchen, and then they're going to run it over for us.
Very cool. Cool. When is that opening?
That is the $1 million question, and it's always out of our hands.
Sometime but in 2019?
Spring.
Okay.
Actually, I have to go to planning commission meeting tonight for City of Las Vegas to update.
Just and running
amend,
more
amend
stuff.
The, wow. Amend the licensing.
Well, once the Project Neon's done too, sometime at the is the end of 2019 that's allegedly going to be done?
Allegedly.
Yeah. But once that's done, I mean, getting downtown for anybody is gonna be so much easier. And if you're coming from the north side trying to get down to Henderson,
it's
a little bit of a haul.
It is, and that's why we're opening up the secondary
location. Nice central
a little
location,
more central
you know,
for people, for sure.
And a place where a lot of people are hanging out, too, you know, and a lot of people are appreciating good
and
craft beer.
They just finished the beautification of Main Street, mm-hmm. so it's one way, it's walkable, wider sidewalks, you know, nice bistro lighting. So
it is very nice down there, so that That's going to be great. I'm very excited for
it. It's a nice little incestuous corridor there because we love Chef James and then the girls at Three Sheets and then Derek at Rebar and Nevada Tasteside and then Hop Nuts and Velveteen and it's all.
Yeah, it's growing down there and the city's growing. You know, it's, you know, those of us who I think all of us were here through the recession and know how bad that was. And actually, Sean, you were only here for part of that. You left right as it.
Skip town.
Right out of here.
Right as it died.
Yep.
Oh, no.
And then came back when things got good. Thanks, Dad. but, you know, love seeing Las Vegas growing the way that it is. Love seeing the beer community grow the way that it is. And, you know, it's a wonderful city, and we've got wonderful beer and wonderful people. So I'm just in a very thankful mood today, having you in and being able to try all these new beers. And I haven't even tried this one yet. But,
well, do you have any special things coming up in 2019 that you can talk about, or is there anything in particular that you guys are looking forward to beer wise that maybe you haven't done before, or that is not top secret?
Well, the barrel aging program is what we've been looking forward to, and unfortunately you have to just wait, and the barrel tells you when it's ready. So actually today there is a beer going into a wine barrel from Grape Expectations, the Vegas Valley winery that's right next to us as well. Again, going back to our industry is very incestuous.
A lot of incest today on the show.
There is.
Well, the whole
quarter, but in a good way. In a good way.
In a good way.
Yeah, in a positive way. Cameron and Bryson, they made an Imperial Saison called Grand Evocation. So our Saison is called Evocation. So Imperial primarily means it's going to be a higher ABV. So we're taking a portion of that and putting it in a Chilean wine barrel. And we're going to barrel age that, and then we'll bottle it and then release the bottles probably end of springish. We're looking at so the barrel aging program, we're really excited about that. It kind of expands upon our current portfolio. It is frustrating because you want it to be ready now and then you can't plan on when it's exactly ready, and then you have to just hope it's ready. Something a little top secret, but I think we can put it out there. Looking at Mahoney's glassware, he has a Beer Zombies glass there. We just met with Chris. We've always supported Chris Jacobs, who owns and launched Beer Zombies. We appreciate the community that he's built, kind of more for Western region. He's, you know, he does a lot in San Diego, but he's never collaborated with a local brewery. So we were very honored that he wanted to collaborate with us. So we're doing a Beer Zombies collaboration.
Hmm. We'll have to have you both in for that.
Yes.
Yeah. We've yet to have him, like, talk to him all the time, but don't, we don't.
Okay, I'll bring him.
Haven't ever had him on the show yet.
Yeah.
We just did, he did some Mexican pastry stout a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it was dangerous.
Yeah.
It was dangerous, but that's awesome. I like people I like working together, and especially when it comes to making good beer.
Yeah. So it's going to be called House of a Thousand Zombies.
I love
but
it.
H-A-U-S, of
yes.
course. Yeah.
Well, Rob Zombie now.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, or great. It does corpses. But zombies. Yeah.
And it's going to be an everything bagel topping, because we make the everything pretzels.
Mm-hmm.
Imperial Stout.
Oh, I love it.
Awesome. Yeah.
And is that going to be canned at all?
Yes.
It will be
canned. Yeah. Phew. And we're going to release it at the Beer Zombies Beer Fest.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Is that going to be at Atomic again? Or
no, it's moving to Skinny Fats.
Oh, okay. So even better.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Well,
yeah.
I'm glad you guys got so much going on. One last thing. I know we're looking way ahead here towards summer.
There we go.
What?
But are you going to bring back the watermelon Zitron?
We'll do it just for you.
God, that's so good.
I know it is.
It's
it really is.
So good. I don't know. If you haven't had a chance, if you didn't have a chance to try it this past summer, definitely one of my top five beers of the year.
Well, and I don't want to open up another can of worms here, but I remember there was a little bit of controversy around a beer that you guys had earlier this year, naming wise.
Oh yeah.
So, I'm assuming that you're going to continue to have the annual release next year.
Yes.
So will the name be?
Van now, right?
No. So we changed it.
Right.
We changed it when I got the cease and desist letter. So you're talking about. We had a beer, or we have a beer named Jean-Claude, and it's a Belgian golden strong ale. So then I got a cease and desist letter from Jean-Claude's attorney in Belgium.
The Jean-Claude.
Yes.
The
JCVD.
He shall be referred to as JCVD.
Of course.
From here in.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Our Lord and Savior, JCVD.
Yes.
What would JCVD do?
Yes. So I renamed it to Not That Jean-Claude.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So it'll come out again.
as yep. not that Jean-Claude?
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
And actually, I just renamed it when we still had it on to say that I complied.
Didn't the labels just have like a sticker that went over them or something?
No. So I had a mural in the tap room that I made, and it was the image from the label, and it was him doing the helicopter kick
yeah. mm-hmm.
between two of the vans that were named after our brewers at that time. They named their van Jean-Claude Dam Van, and our brewery was the final resting place of Jean-Claude Dam Van. So we named it after their van. So we're going to have to figure out a different image because I can't use his likeness. But I put a poop emoji over his head,
yeah.
over his face.
Can you get Mahoney doing the splits?
Yeah, there you go.
We've got
if he can do the bearskin rug,
I mean,
Burt Reynolds.
Well, give me a couple months. I'll start working on my flexibility. I'll start going to yoga or True Fusion.
You can get your airbrush guy. Yeah. We can put those abs back on.
I'm not allowed
to
go to True Fusion, though, by the way.
You're not.
What?
No, man, I'm too fat. Like, you can't be a fat guy with a beard in the back of the class of True Fusion because everybody there is just going to be like, I know why you're here. You're here just to stare at my ass. And they are right. Because I am not flexible whatsoever. But looking forward to so much, all the stuff that you guys got going on. And the Lowlands Clan.
Yes.
Is it Lowlands or Lowland?
Lowlands.
Lowlands Clan.
Yes.
This 9% goes down way too easy.
Yeah. It's like sweater weather beer.
Mm-hmm. And this being aged in Pappy barrels.
Yeah.
Game changers.
Yeah, it's going to be on.
So, be on the lookout for the announcement of that when that's going to be released. But you guys got a lot of great stuff going on, and always a pleasure to have you in. And thank you for sharing your wonderful beers with us today.
Thanks for having us.
This has been another Beer for Breakfast podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening.